Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears with you here off and running on a getaway Friday. Friday, June the 15th, 2021. How about that? Moving right along here in the month of January. We're now, technically, we're in the middle of the month of January. Isn't that unbelievable that we had the holidays, we had Christmas, we had New Year's, and now we're already in the middle of the month of January, which typically is the coldest, darkest month of the year. So, the good news is, we're almost halfway done with it. Now, I'll be with you this morning until 1 o'clock, and we do have some special guests planned this morning, one of which, who I think is going to join us in about 11 minutes here, and that will be a lot of fun because we have not spoken to him in quite a while, and it actually has to do with a news story that we're going to cover this morning, so I am going to even hold off talking about that news story for the next 11 minutes until we are joined by this person. And it's one of those things where we tried to book this person yesterday, and I can understand why they were busy, so I did not hear back from them until early this morning. So we hope it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen at 8:30. We'll see what happens. So, we'll wait 11 minutes and see what goes on there. Now more like 10 minutes. But there are two things I want to talk about to start off the morning, and we will do Family Feud this morning. I know people really enjoy that, and I enjoy that, and we'll finish the category from yesterday. Yesterday, we were doing Family Feud, and the coronavirus information came out during the program, in which they will be inoculating people here in Marion and how that process will go. It's on the news today. It's every hour on the hour. Well, every hour about 10 minutes after the hour. If you listen, you will hear that full report of vaccination schedules and how you do it and where you go and where you can get it done and what ages and all that. It's playing 10 minutes after every hour, and it will all day today, all day tomorrow, and probably about half of the day on Sunday. So any hour this weekend you want to know the vaccination schedule here in Marion, you can do that. And it's interesting because there are a lot of questions about it, because the information we have been given says that there are going to be 800 doses available. Now, I don't know if that's initially. It doesn't say that. It doesn't really give a whole lot of information. It says that 400 people have been inoculated already in Marion. Now, the 400 people were the initial group of first responders and people who work in the medical field and people of that nature. Now, it does say 400 there were inoculated. Now, the 800 doses that we're going to have available starting Monday, I don't know if that's supposed to cover the whole month, because I'm thinking 800 is not going to do it. And Tracy Kinsler is going to come on. I did hear from Tracy yesterday. We had not heard from her in quite a while, and I'm sure she's very busy with the scheduling of doses and administering the initial vaccines to first responders and healthcare workers, which is probably why we haven't heard from her. Not to mention that we've had a record number of COVID-19 diagnoses going on, but we are going to hear from her at some point in the next few days about this vaccination schedule, and figure out, are we going to get more than the initial 800 doses? Because the way this reads, and I'll just give you a little bit of it here, because it is running on the news every hour, starting on Monday, Ohioans 80 years of age and older can get it. Then on the 25th, it's Ohioans 75 years of age and those with congenital or developmental disorders. Then on February 1st, it's Ohioans 70 years of age and employees of K through 12 schools who wish to remain in person or in hybrid models. And then the week of February the 8th, it's Ohioans 65 years of age and older. Now, if 800 doses, I don't think that's going to cover that entire group. A matter of fact, I'm guessing the way our population is here in Marion, if you just look at the retirement homes, people over the age of 80, I'm guessing we probably have more than 800 people over the age of 80 in Marion County just living in retirement homes, let alone the people over the age of 80 who are still living independently. And you've got to remember, we have people alive in their 90s. We have people alive who are over the age of 100. So I'm guessing there are, we're a county of around 65,000 people live in Marion County. So I'm guessing there are more than 800 people over the age of 80 in Marion County who would be eligible for this inoculation. And then once you go down to age 75, then you have just the group between 75 and 80. Well, that five-year time period, there are a lot of people in that group. So I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know if we're going to get more doses or if this 800 is supposed to cover this entire group. I don't know. I know this is why they're encouraging people to register. Right now, it can be done through the health department. It can be done through Kroger. It can be done through Meijer. And it can be done through Ohio Health. But that's an awful lot of people. And, you know, I'm just thinking of the people who got the flu shots at Kroger and Meijer, because apparently these are the two pharmacies locally that are going to have access to the COVID-19 vaccine. The people who got the flu shot, who were over the age of 65, I'm sure that was a massive number of people, well more than 800. So I don't know if it's first come, first serve. I don't know how that's all going to work. But we'll find out as time goes on, because Tracy Kinsler will join us eventually. And it's good to have this information now, and also that you can sign up. So if you're on the list first, I imagine you would have a better chance of getting inoculated. Now, as I say, yesterday we were in the middle of the Family Feud when that information came out, and there's still two answers we need to find, so we will get to those this morning. We had a category yesterday of five answers, and we got three of them, but the final two we did not get. But of course, we spent the last 5 minutes yesterday going over the vaccination schedule. So we will get back to that this morning. And there's also something I wanted to talk about. Now, I don't know if I'm going to have enough time to talk about this in the next 4 minutes before our first guest joins us or not. And I am not the best driver in the world by any stretch of the imagination. Although I will say I have not had a speeding ticket in quite a long time. I think it's been well over a decade since I've had a speeding ticket. And on the whole, I've never had many speeding tickets to begin with. I've never had a DUI. I don't think I've ever been cited for any accident. Maybe once. I don't know. I don't think so. I've never been in an accident. I don't think I've ever been in an accident that I caused. I've never been in a major accident where the car was damaged so badly it could not run. I couldn't drive it home. So I think I'm a fair driver. And I think I've gotten better as time has went on. And I've driven in New York City. I've driven in Chicago. I've driven in Pittsburgh. I've driven in Cleveland. I've driven in Cincinnati. Driven in Columbus. Don't seem to have much of a problem with it. But driven in Indianapolis, I've driven in Toronto, Canada, busy city. But there's something going on with people, and I wouldn't even call it a pet peeve. Now, this sounds like a McDonald's story, but it's really not, because it has nothing to do with McDonald's this morning. It's just the fact that I was going to McDonald's this morning to get my normal morning beverage, and, you know, they have two lines at McDonald's east on Route 95. and you have the inside lane and the outside lane. Well, when I pulled in, there was a car in the inside lane, and there was no car in the outside lane. But there was a car in front of me, and it was one of these big black SUVs. I don't know. A lot of people have these big black SUVs. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about the SUVs, and I don't know how much gas mileage they get to the gallon, but everybody likes these black SUVs for some reason. So I pull in, and there's a car already ordering in the inside lane, and then there's this black SUV in front of me. There's nobody in the outside lane, and I'm behind the black SUV. And as the black SUV is approaching the order area, it starts to slow down. Now, there's nobody in the outside lane, and there's only one person in the inside lane. And I'm thinking, why are they slowing down? Now, not only did they slow down, before they pulled into either lane, and it looked like they were going to the outside lane, they dead stopped about 15 feet before the speaker, where you order. So they were blocking the outside lane and were dead stopped in the line of traffic that would be pulling up there. And there's nobody in front of them, and I'm behind them. So, of course, I pull into the inside lane where the car already is, and I wait for them to order, and they go through, and then I pull up and I order. And as I was going into the line to pick up my drink and pay for my drink, I looked in my rearview mirror, and this car was still dead stopped. This black SUV was still dead stopped back about 15 feet before the outside lane. But now I could see in his front window, and it was a guy driving it, so we can't say anything about women drivers. I know people have made fun of that over the years. It was a guy driving it, and it wasn't a kid either. This guy was probably, he was well over 40, I'm going to say, and probably most likely well over 50 years of age. And he's sitting in the car alone. There's nobody in the passenger seat. It doesn't look like there's anybody in the back seat behind him. And what is he doing? He's looking down at his cell phone. Now, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, to be honest with you, because as I look back, I thought, well, maybe he has one of the McDonald's apps. And maybe he's, you know, trying to figure out how to pick up his food. I thought, well, maybe that's what's going on. And then I thought, well, wait a second. If you had the app and you were trying to pick up your food that way, you don't get in the line. You just pull up outside at one of the numbered parking spaces and you let them know that you're there and they bring the food out to you because you've already prepaid with your credit card. So I'm thinking he's not doing that. And if he was ordering on the app for whatever reason, because he's in the parking lot already, or he's in the line already, really, why would you order then? Why wouldn't you just pull 15 feet up and order at the window? You're already there. And if you were placing a pre-order, why not? Why are you in the line? Why are you blocking traffic? But still in a dead stop. And even as I rounded the corner to pay, where I could no longer see this person anymore, they were still dead stopped 15 feet before the speaker. Now, and I'm not saying there wasn't an emergency. Maybe one of his kids called him. Maybe one of his grandkids called him. Maybe he got a text from his wife or his mother or his father. I don't know. But why he's sitting in the lane, I don't understand. I don't know why you wouldn't pull out of the lane. When you see nobody's in front of you, that there's nobody at the speaker, you don't do that. I mean, that to me is just completely, I don't want to say inconsiderate, because, you know, this might have been a very nice guy. I have no idea who it was. But my goodness, to dead stop like that. You know what my biggest worry is? When people go to these places in the morning, whether it be McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King, any place with a fast food line, You're just waking up in the morning usually. You probably haven't been awake too long, and you're probably in a hurry, because if you're out, you're probably on your way to work, or on your way to the babysitter, or on your way somewhere, maybe to school. That somebody would dead stop in the line could cause a wreck, because you don't expect somebody to be dead stopped 15 minutes before the speaker. You know, if I had not been paying attention this morning, if I had been on my cell phone, I could have ran right into the back of this guy. Because why would you ever expect somebody to stop 15 minutes or 15 feet before the window, 15 feet before the speaker? So that's pet peeve number one this morning. And just when I thought, okay, well, everything's fine. I got through McDonald's. I got my drink. I'm back on the road. Then I'm down here right in front of Harding High School, and I'm getting ready to turn onto 309. And I'm at the stoplight. But again, I'm behind one of these big black SUVs. This is why I'm talking about the black SUV this morning. Because, oddly enough, and it wasn't the same person, but the guy who had dead stopped at McDonald's and whoever was in front of me at the light there at 309, getting ready to turn onto 309, in front of Harding High School, was also in a black SUV. So they're the only car in front of me, and I'm behind them. And the first thing they do before they get to the light, is that University? I think that's University Drive. I always get that confused, University and Innovation, but I think that's University Drive. So as I'm driving down University, which does not have a whole lot of traffic on it, as I'm driving down University behind this black SUV before we even get to the light there at 309, about 40 feet back from the light, this SUV pulls into the middle of the road. Now, the area where you turn into the turn lane to go left onto 309 doesn't start until, what, 10 or 15, maybe 20 feet before the stoplight there. This person, about 50 feet back, just pulls into the middle of the road. Because I'm following them down the road, and I'm thinking, why are they pulling into the middle of the road? Why are they now driving over the center line? Because if there was anything coming in the opposite direction, it probably would have hit them, or would have come pretty close to hitting them. So I'm following them down this this road, University, and I'm thinking, why are they riding the middle line? Well, I learned that they were getting in the turn lane, but they were getting in the turn lane about 30 feet early. And then once they got into the turn lane, they stopped, and then I got in the turn lane behind them, and we're sitting there at the red light, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and the light's not turning, and I'm thinking, we are never going to move. What's going on here? Why is this light taking so long? I drive past this light every day, and I don't have this type of trouble. And then I realized that the black SUV in front of me, which has already made this wrong turn, or at least early turn, let's call it, on University Drive, is not pulled up to the trigger that triggers the light to change, so you can turn. They're about 10 feet back from the stop bar. Now, in the beginning, because I couldn't see around them, I thought there was a car in front of them, because that's how far back we were. No car in front of them. They just were not pulled up to the stop bar, which actually activates that light to turn green, so you can turn. So, for starters, this car preemptively starts driving down the middle of the road on University about 30 feet early before you should get in the turn lane, before the turn lane ever appears. And then, once they get up to the place where you actually stop, they stop 10 feet early, so the light does not trigger. Now, I will give them credit that eventually they did figure out that they had stopped way early. So they finally did pull up after waiting on the light for about 5 minutes pulled up enough to trigger that sensor, which turns that light green. But we had to wait about 5 minutes for that to happen. So that's my experience just in about the last hour with black SUVs and people driving in Marion. And you know what it makes me think? Again, 65,000 people in this county, and I'm thinking, I ran into these two just on the little drive that I have here in the morning, which takes about 10 minutes to get here. Maybe 7 miles from where I live to get here every morning. And I ran into these two within that 7 mile period. Actually, I ran into these two within about 2 miles. That's probably a 2 mile period there. I don't understand this. And now, can somebody help me understand this? Why people drive like this? I really don't understand. I don't understand why people do that. It's very bizarre. I understand people like to be on their cell phone, they're playing games, they're talking to their family. Maybe they're even getting an order from home. Maybe they have texted their friends or their wife or whatever and said, I'm going to McDonald's, do you want anything? And maybe they just got the text message back. That's fine. I understand that. But why would you block a lane and not even pull up to the window? You know, even if that was happening, even if you were waiting on the order from your family to come in, why wouldn't you at least pull up to the speaker where you should be and just tell the woman on the other end of the speaker, hey, wait a second, it's going to be a minute, I'm getting the order? Why not do that? Why stop 10 feet before, 10 to 15 feet before the speaker? Again, I don't know the exact distance here. I should have gotten a measuring tape out and went out there and just, you know, that would make a move. If I had gotten out of my car with a measuring tape and connected it to their bumper and then let the measuring tape run off up to the speaker, they probably would have caught on that they were doing the wrong thing. Now, it's funny to me because this is not a pet peeve, because I made it through just fine. I got in the inside lane behind the driver that was actually ordering properly. So I got through okay, no problem there. But it was just strange to me that somebody could do that. Cell phones take people's social propriety all away. Like, he had no embarrassment at all. He had no concern with anything going on in the world except looking at that cell phone. And I know this because, as I say, when I pulled up, I looked in my rearview mirror and I could see that's all he was doing. He was staring down, messing with that cell phone. So, there you go. And what is with the black SUVs? I don't understand. Is that a fad to get a black SUV? You know, I know that they use that, the Secret Service likes to use black SUVs, and a lot of law enforcement seem to have black SUVs, but I don't know what it is about the black SUV. So here's my questions. Do you have a distracted driving story? Do you have any thoughts on what I experienced just an hour ago? Or do you understand the whole black SUV craze? Give me a call here, 41 and a half minutes past the hour on this Getaway Friday. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I would love to know what you think here, because this is an interesting thing that that has happened. And I'm not really sure. Is it about cell phones? Is that what is driving this problem? It very well could be. I would not doubt it. But I don't know. I don't want to lay this all on cell phones at this point, unless you feel the same way. If you feel it's cell phones, then I'll go along with it. So my question is, what's with the black SUV craze? Because I think it's just odd that I ran into two black SUVs Why do people drive this way? And so on and so forth. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
You know, I thought you would be the perfect person.
Well, I am the perfect person, but I don't want to talk to you about anything that you want to talk about. Guess what my boss asked me when I walked into work today?
Oh, your boss asked you. I don't know. What did they ask you?
If I would take the shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so now it's the moment of truth. I said yes.
You said yes.
Yeah, so I'll let you know how I feel after I get inoculated.
Now, how did the, what finally swung your opinion that way?
Well, it just seems like the right thing to do because so many people got COVID and so many people lost their lives or, you know, had other bad stuff happen to them. And I don't know, I don't want to call anyone a liar. I want to be really careful not to ever do that, but I don't know how, what's the word, substantiated the claims are for the, you know, the shot, the negative side effects to the shot. I don't know how much of that to really, you might hear of a few pop-up things, but I don't know how true that is or false, you know, but the facts speak pretty clearly to, you know, the multitudes and the masses of people that have got the COVID and died or got sick or didn't, maybe that nothing bad happened to them at all, but they spread it to other people. So I look at it like I've got lucky so far, but why take chances if you don't have to, right?
Well, I'll tell you something, and I know you listen most of the morning, I hope, but Dr. Art Uihlein, after being on the program the other day, actually, you know, he has some inside people at the CDC, and he actually sent me last night, a whole thing about side effects and who is probably more susceptible to them and what the side effects are. So next hour, I'm probably going to get into that because I do want to read that just so people know, and none of the side effects are death. It's just why certain people are having more side effects than others, what the side effects are, and this comes from his friends at the CDC, so this is pretty accurate.
Yeah, I can't wait. Believe it or not, there are times when I do have to turn the radio down because I have to do some work, but for the most part, it's full go, you know, but live and loud. But yeah, I'm not somebody, I don't even take a flu shot, a pneumonia shot, a shingle shot, anything. So I didn't rush into this. I mean, I did put a little bit of thought into it. But I'm going to roll the dice with the shot. So here we go.
Yeah, well, I just have a quick question. I know you're out there working, but
we run by the half hour. We can talk till 9. I'm free till 9.
Oh, good. You're freed up this morning. Well, I always worry because we don't want you losing any of that money. Now, so what category did you fall in that were being offered these shots?
City employee.
See, because when I'm looking at all these lists, that does not fall on there. And
I don't know. She was just getting an idea as to who wanted it. I mean, we're not getting it today.
Well, what confuses me is the list that got sent over, and we're going to have Tracy Kinsler on, but the list that got sent over from the health department yesterday, it says they have 800 doses. Now, for the month that they gave us, I mean, we're talking everybody 65 years of age and older, and all school employees who are teaching at school for the next 30 days, I don't know that 800 doses is going to cover that.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
No, I mean, we're a county of 65,000 plus. I just don't know. I don't know if that's the first batch that they have readily available right now and they're going to get more. But I also thought that, do you think it's a small number? Because also in this press release, they say of the first responders, the healthcare workers, that they have inoculated now. And I also believe patients in nursing homes had the option to be inoculated, that only 400 doses have been administered in Marion. Only 400. I think that's a small number for that group.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know much about, like, it kind of makes you wonder, like, it does seem sort of small, but then again, I don't really have any basis for comparison. I don't, my daughter works at Kingston. I mean, she's at it.
Well, you know, the good news about this is, and like I say, I know, well, Mary Ellen was in here Tuesday. She was offered it because she's a resident at Primrose, which she has said, so that's why she was offered it. And I know somebody who's a resident of a nursing home. They were offered it. They took it. So I know patients and people who live in these areas are being offered it. But what is strange to me is that, well, I guess the, not so much strange, but a silver lining, is that if you take the inoculation, even if everybody else does not take it, you're still protected.
Right. Again, for my, me personally, like I said, I have been very fortunate. You know, I work in public transportation. I haven't got, I've worn my mask and used my sanitizer and washed my hands and everything. I've been healthy this whole entire time, but why take chances if you don't have to? That's how I'm looking at it.
You got it. Well, hey, I appreciate the call, and good luck, and let us know how it all turns out.
Oh, yeah. Have a good show, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, and we continue on this morning, 740-383-9944. We're here talking about all kinds of things this morning. Yeah, the numbers are kind of interesting when it comes to this whole COVID vaccine thing. I don't know. Maybe there'll be more doses. The 400-dose thing number for the people who've already taken it, I think that's kind of interesting. 400 doses for first responders and people in the medical field. And I know that it was also offered to people who were in nursing homes and some of these retirement homes. So I don't know. Is that a lot? Is that a small number, high number in a county of 65,000? I don't know. I don't know the number of people who are refusing it. It's kind of an interesting story. And as we continue on this morning, I am so glad to be joined by our guest here for the remainder of the hour, the next 10 minutes. And I know he's very busy this morning, but if you had not heard, we held off in the beginning of the program in talking about this. But Joanne Rogers, the widow of Fred Rogers, better known as Mr. Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, passed away yesterday at the age of 92, certainly leaving a large legacy in children's television. And joining us this morning, a dear friend of this program and a dear friend of this station and somebody who knew Mrs. Rogers very well, he is probably best known for the role of Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but he also worked in publicity for the Mr. Rogers Company for many, many years. Our good pal, been here in Marion on three separate occasions. He is David Newell. David, how are you this morning?
Well, considering I'm doing pretty well, thank you for your wonderful remembrance of Joanne Rogers. It was so surprising to me. You know, I had spoken to her maybe about a month ago, and I've been trying to get in touch with her recently, and maybe that's why I couldn't, because she wasn't feeling well. I don't know. At any rate, the last time I spoke with her, she was her bubbly self. And then yesterday, my wife and I went out shopping for a couple hours and came back, and that's when I got the phone call. And, oh my, it's been a busy time ever since. The phone has been ringing off the hook. But I'm glad I had a chance to talk to you about Joanne. Did you meet her the day you came down to Pittsburgh for the stamp dedication?
I did. She was very busy that day, the day of the stamp dedication. We didn't get a chance to do an interview, but I did have a chance to meet with her. And she was, that's the word I would use, the word you used. She was a very petite, at that point, you know, lady in her late 80s, but she was very bubbly and very personality-driven, it seemed.
Yes, you're so right. And I've known her now, for over 50 years. When I first met her when we started taping the program, and that's back in 1967. And I first met Joanne when she came to the studio one day shortly after we began the taping the neighborhood, and have known her all those many years, have had many phone conversations with her. You know, when she usually would call when we had our phone conversation, it would be a call we thought would be on the phone for about 10 minutes. It ended up being, every time we talked, it was about an hour and a half. But she was a delightful person. You know, and that she had a great sense of humor. I'm sure your listeners don't know her as well, of course, they know Fred Rogers, but Joanne had a wonderful sense of humor, as did Fred, and they both complimented each other with their sense of humor, and that's part of her bubbliness, I think, that sense of humor. And I'll tell you a story. My wife and I and Joanne went to a movie. This is back 7 years ago, maybe. And I'll never forget that there's a little theater near where we live, and they had a movie, I can't remember, but they were giving out movie posters, a lot of surplus movie posters that I guess the company sent for them to advertise their movies, and they had too many, so they're giving away free. Well, I love movie posters, and I went over and started to take a few of them, and Joanne came over and said, "Now, David, what are you going to do with those?" And I said, "Well, I collect them, Joanne." She said, "Well, no." And then just as then, I think my wife was sort of leaving. She said, "Oh, thank you, Joanne. We have enough posters at home now." But I was just thinking, if Fred had been there with us, his approach would have been, "Now, David, how long you've been collecting posters?" It would have been a different reaction. But she said it with good humor. I didn't quite understand. It was the last thing she would do is collect movie posters.
Well,
that was still her sense of humor, though.
Well, you know, it's interesting, David, and we had talked, and not to get into this too deep, but late last year an interview was given in which, really for the first time to my knowledge, she had given a political opinion. And at this point, it doesn't matter what that was, but I remember at the time that was rather shocking and made national news that she would endorse a presidential candidate. Did you talk to her about that after she had done that?
Pardon me, had she...
Did you speak to her after she had made that endorsement?
Yes, I did. I called, and I didn't get through to her. I left a message. And, you know, that was only maybe less than a month before she passed. Frankly, I was surprised, too. But you know, that was Joanne. You know, she spoke her mind. She didn't hold back. The question was asked her often, "Well, what's Fred Rogers like when he's not on television? Is he the same person?" And Joanne would always say, "You know, what you see is what you get." And you know, you could say that about Joanne, too. What you see is what you get. There's no artifice. She was the person that you were standing in front of you, and she would sometimes be very outspoken. That was her, but not to a point where she would have been insulting, but she spoke her mind. And I think the incident you're referring to about the political, she spoke her mind. She that's what she felt, and she said it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that was Joanne. But at the same time, she was a very warm, loving person. They had two boys and three grandchildren. And Fred was quoted, and somebody quoted it back to me, and it says that Fred said if it weren't for Joanne, his wife, that there would be no Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And I said, well, you know, that's probably true. Joanne, at the first, when the program was in its infancy, and the program before at the Children's Corner, Joanne would be there at the studio helping. This is the early, early days of public television, helping Fred with fan mail. They would take it home and they do it at the dining room table. And Joanne was a big part of behind the scenes starting up of the program. And as the years went on, she, of course, was raising the children.
Well,
go ahead, I interrupted you.
No. And we love to hear these stories. I just, you know, as you say, when you spoke to her a month ago, there was no indication that there was any kind of health concern or that she was not feeling well. And at 92, you know, unfortunately, these kind of things happen. But because of the world we're living in now, this pandemic world, do we know what did happen at this point? Do we know what...
I don't know the cause. I know that at one point she was, you know, oh, this must be going back 10 years or so, or maybe more. I know she had open heart surgery, but she came flying through that, and she, that maybe was 15 years ago, and she seemed to be fine over those past years. Now, I don't know. It certainly had a, there was some, we'll find out more, I guess, but I know she was in the hospital a couple days this week, I guess, and then came home and passed away at home. So I don't know what this last hospital visit was, but it probably was related in some way. I'm not sure. But at any rate, she was quite a force behind Fred Rogers. They were a team. They were so suited for each other. It was just a perfect marriage. And I think, oh boy, they were married over 50 years. Maybe I can't remember the anniversary number, but it's over 50. I know that much. But they were quite dedicated to each other. And I'll miss Joanne's long phone call.
Well, you know, David, not to intrude on your conversation with her a month ago, but what was the conversation about a month ago?
Oh, they would range from everything. We'd get off on one subject, and then we'd mention something and off on another. We talked a lot of philosophically, too, about... I would travel with Fred. This part is my job. As you mentioned earlier, I was in charge of the PR. So when Fred would go on a speaking tour, I would go with him and run interference for him and help him out and make it easy to do what he had to do. And Joanne, so I would tell Joanne, Fred was never the kind of person that would boast. He would maybe meet some famous person and never mention it to Joanne. That wasn't something that Fred would say. It just wasn't his nature. And so I said, you know, Joanne, when Fred and I were in such and such a city, we met such and such a person. Well, really, Fred never told me that. Things like that we'd talk about. And then that would lead to some other story, and it was just all over the map. And I'd ask her about music. She was a pianist, as was Fred. They were both classically trained, and I, in fact, that's interesting. I saw a cartoon in one of the magazine, and it had something to do with music notes. That was the joke. You looked at the cartoon and the music notes were the joke, and I didn't know the joke because I can't read music, and it was in a music related magazine. So I said, I'm going to call Joanne and ask her what's funny about this cartoon. No, she could explain it to me. And that was literally yesterday, in the morning before we went out to shop, my wife and I. And I said, I think I might call Joanne when I get back. The irony to life sometimes, you never know, right?
You never know. You never know. David, we got a couple minutes left here, and with the passing of Joanne, who was the wife of Fred Rogers for many, many years, not having one of these two, Fred or Joanne, now involved with this company, is it the passing of an era here?
It is. I think it is, yes. Now the people who are working at the company now have all been through a lot of the philosophy of Fred, but it's an end of an era. It is. Things do change, but I think there's enough integrity, if that's the word, enough institutional background, whatever that word would be, that they'll follow that. The mission is already stated, and I think they'll follow the mission. It may waver a little bit, it may change, it has to, because Fred's not here, and Joanne is neither, but I think it'll keep its integrity, but it'll change. It won't be quite the same, but you're right. It's an end of an era. But, you know, we still have the programs. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood has been digitized, and it's ready for a new audience. It's being shown on the Internet now, and you can get it on pbskids.org and on Amazon. So if your listeners want to know where they can get it, go to Amazon. There are almost all the episodes are there, as with pbskids.org.
Absolutely. David,
That lives on.
Yeah, absolutely, and always will. David, final question here, because all the headlines yesterday were the widow of Fred Rogers passes away, Joanne Rogers. For somebody who saw their marriage in action when Fred was still with us, closer than anybody, how would you describe that marriage?
I would say it's one of the most solid marriages that I've ever heard. They truly were a team. And they had their own careers, too. Joanne didn't have a career, but she loved music, and she did a lot of concert tours. And she went out, and maybe would be out for a week concertizing. They were the perfect partnership. It was a very solid marriage, and I'm sure there was... Every marriage and relationship is, there's rough parts, but they were, when we would be on trips, Fred would say, I want to stop here and get something for Joanne. It was always something. He would always be thinking about her, and they had a great, great marriage. And so for that, I'm thankful. I'm glad I was able to observe.
Absolutely. David, we've got about 30 seconds before we part here. How are you going to remember Joanne Rogers?
By her sense of humor and her laugh. I can hear that and by those phone conversations. And just every memory that I've had over the years, as I do, Fred, I was fortunate to be able to be part of their life and part of the neighborhood. Mm. That's how I'll remember it.
David Newell, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, discussing the sad passing of Joanne Rogers, but a great long life at age 92. David, you've always been a pal to us, and I hope you continue to be. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Okay, Scott, thank you, and thank you for your thoughtfulness in calling to have me remember Joanne Rogers. Thank you.
Thank you. David Newell, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on the passing of Joanne Rogers, the widow of Mr. Rogers, yesterday at the age of 92. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
In balloons.
Hey, everybody out there on Radio Land. This is Gallagher. I want to tell you a few things. I want to tell you about Scott Spears, Monday through 10 to 2 o'clock. He's so-called...